Hello and welcome to The Ball Bags, a weekly podcast breaking down all the news from the United Rugby Championship, the NFL, the English Premier League, the NBA, and the wide world of sport. Hello, and thanks very much for joining us on Friday Eve. This is Season 4, Episode 10 of the Ball Bags podcast. I think by now you're familiar with the concept of it just being myself and the Chief. We do have two episodes left to come in this season. We'll try and re-emerge some former cast members, but we are but two humble men. How are you, Chief? All good?
I'm good, Sasquatch. Have that Friday Eve feeling, and looking forward to the weekend.
Yeah, I wish tomorrow now would go the same as a bank holiday Friday, but I just don't feel like it's going to. So hopefully it'll be a bit more jubilant at this time tomorrow. But look, it is what it is. No one wants to listen to me moan. They want to hear us talk squatter about sport. So we're going to kick in to the normal schedule. But I'm going to go first this week, because I've gone first in the last few weeks. So you're going to have to listen to me meander on for a while. But look, player of the week. Agree, disagree, and then this week's must-see TV. My player of the week is a very biased as a Knicks fan, Jalen Brunson. So, look, the Knicks going well, fourth in the East. They faced off against the Sacramento Kings, who I think are sixth in the West at present on Sunday night. It was a low-scoring affair. But Jalen Brunson, who's having a stellar season, combined chipped in 42 of the 98 points for the Knicks in a road win. So I thought, do you know what? I want to give him his dues. Who's yours, Chief?
So I was torn between two players here this week from both Italian. Well, technically Italian. That's a bit of a dark hole I've gone down there, but Tommaso Menoncello, but who I've actually gone for is Monty Ioni. Thought he against Wales, some of his running lines and just his physicality is just, he's unreal. Like he made a lovely line break for their second try, I believe it was, and he just punched a hole, and like he just, when things go right, a lot of it goes through him as well for Italy in attack. And like Menoncello was class. We mentioned him last week with Brex as well. So it was toss up between the two, but I went for Monty. Thought it was a great performance for him.
Fair. And if you had to pick between the two Ioni cousins, Digby or Monty, who would you go for?
Give me a Digby any day.
Fair. We did chat with him last week, but young Lina had a moment that would have made his dad proud as a result of Italy beating Wales. Both Italy and Australia jumped Wales in the rankings.
Yeah, noticed that during the week. All right, that's a nice little booster for both sides of the family.
For the line of family tree, and if you had to pick one, Chief, who would you go with?
I think that performance by Jalen Brunson is just like, that's off the charts.
You're a pushover.
No, it's like pushover. The Italy Wales game, in a sense, was a dead rubber. This is, the Knicks are pushing hard, like as you say, they're fourth in the East. So I think more on the line for them in terms of, like, it was a wooden spoon matchup for great win for Italy, and you know, fully deserved it. Probably left some tries behind them that they could have got a bonus point, to be honest. But no, I'll concede on this one and give you the win this week.
I hope you put up more of a sterner contest over the last two episodes of the season. But I'll take the win wherever I can get it. So next up, agree to disagree. And I've gone with a slightly pie in the sky one, and I have a few kind of questions for you. So it's fast becoming the season of the asterisks in the Premier League. So we've seen Everton deducted 10 points, downgraded to 6 with another ruling to come. hanging over them. Notts Forest during the week were afforded a points deduction. About a fortnight ago, Leicester were afforded a points deduction when and if they ever return to the Premiership. So there's an elephant in the room, and it's the biggest offender of the lot in Man City. So I suppose I've three somewhat quickfire questions. The first one is, what is a fitting punishment for City?
Ban them. Just take them out of football altogether. No, that's just a very much red side of Manchester joke, tongue-in-cheek joke. It's a strange one because if you look north to Scotland and Rangers 12 years ago, they were at different circumstances. They folded because of financial, like they couldn't pay the tax bill and all their creditors and stuff. But they were demoted right down to the bottom tier of Scottish professional football. That's not going to happen in this case. I don't agree with taking trophies off them either. Okay, Liverpool might get awarded a couple. I think United might get awarded one in that sense, but they didn't win them those years. So I don't agree on that either. But I think there has to be some kind of, like, how much financially can you punish them? They're mega wealthy. So do you give them a four-window transfer ban, something like that, or reduce the number of non-English players or something to, you know, like, in that sense, to that it have to be homegrown talent. Okay, you can bring them in at 6 years old from any country and they're technically homegrown, you know, they're home-trained and stuff like that, but I think there does need to be something. Four windows might be extreme. Two windows, definitely. It happened Chelsea. And they're another one who are possibly going to come under sanction because I seen a clip from, I'm not a big talk sport fan, but I seen a clip where they were talking, Simon Jordan and Jim White, and I don't know who the other guy was, but the sale of Mason Mount to Man United was included in last year's figures to get them over the line for the FFP. But that means there's going to be a 55 million hole in this year's figures, added to the fact they had no European football, so their revenue is severely hampered. There has to be something coming along the line for them in terms of a points deduction as well. But yeah, I think, I know it's meant to be quickfire, but I think maybe like a 2-3 transfer window ban or something, and a restriction on maybe, it's not fair on people who are contracted. Like it's employment law is also in breach. Like, but you know, maybe on match days they can only play a certain amount of players.
Mine is a simpler one. Comes from the NRL. So the Melbourne Storm were guilty of salary cap breaches years ago, and it's a bit more convoluted and complicated that there's no relegation in that system. But I think City should be forced to play, say, next season, the entire season, with the inability to win points. So they have to fulfill all their fixtures. They're guaranteed to finish 10th. But everyone gets 3 points home and away. But the players have to actually fulfill the fixtures. And it means you're guaranteeing they won't have European football the following season. And I think that's a fair punishment.
That's probably a better punishment as well than a transfer ban, because they'll have young players that will, you know, like the, and they have players there already. But if they were banned from European competition for a minimum of 12 months, it would have a knock on effect to their ability to persuade players.
Yeah. And look, it's kind of humiliating. For the whole season is a talking point, but we push on. I suppose, being realistic, they're going to have the best solicitors and lawyers anywhere in the world. So what's the minimum punishment the Premier League can enforce that's going to maintain integrity for the league?
That's a tricky one. The minimum, like the money, do you fine them 500 million and it's split between the teams affected most, but well, like they're not affected, like if they're not doing due diligence themselves, then they're going to get punished too. Like, so it's like, it's not an even spread of the fine or something. Like the FA would just pocket that money themselves, potentially it could be reinvested into grassroots and stuff. City are doing that, as we spoke about last week or 2 weeks ago, I think, before the Manchester derby. City are doing that anyway in the greater Manchester area, and in terms of their underage academies and, you know, like the investment they're putting in there and stuff. Unless the start of next season, or whenever it gets resolved, that the start of the season minus 30 points that they can't win, you know.
Yeah, I was thinking 20. I think 20 is a minimum.
So it's like it's 10 games, essentially, you know, or like say 7 if you go 20, 21, like an even three division of three. Yeah, because they're going to start off, like, you know, they'll chip away at that much easier than the likes of when it happened to Bolton and other teams like Derby and stuff lower down. But yeah, I think as a minimum that probably 20-30 points deduction.
And then the final question, when do we imagine it will be resolved?
Probably the same year that Ireland win a Rugby World Cup quarter final.
So the 31st of February.
This is going to drag for, I honestly, if a conclusion comes to it in 5 years, I'd be very surprised.
I cantankerously, I would imagine that the conclusion will come with the announcement that Pep is stepping down. If I was going to be, if you get word that Pep's finishing at the end of
there's no court case, it's been resolved.
It's been settled out of court probably. But look, that's enough from me. Let's hand it on to your fine self.
For Friday Eve, I've chosen a little bit of misery for myself. my agree to disagree is, did the Chicago Bears get enough for trading Justin Fields to the Steelers, or was it a case there was no market for the former number one overall draft pick? Will they regret not holding on to him for one more year, even as a backup to potential new quarterback Caleb Williams?
First part of the question, no, they did not. They got pickpocketed. Largely as a result of, it's similar enough in like Premier League, when a club sells a marquee player, the player they look to replace, they always pay overs, because every club knows, oh well, you just have to get 110 million for Coutinho, so a 30 million player is 50, etc, etc. So everyone and their dog, pretty much, I know there was some kind of mumbling said hold on to Fields, but everyone within the league would have known the Bears want to go for Caleb Williams, especially when you see them invest in some talented pieces. Yeah, Keenan Allen, for example. Which, cantankerously, you go, you gave Justin Fields DJ Moore, and you've given a fellow who's not thrown a pass in the league Caleb Williams. And it's like, I don't think it was a, look, I will maintain that Chicago did not afford Justin Fields the opportunity he deserved. What I would say is, if there is someone who's going to maximise his talent, it is Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh. I'm a massive Mike Tomlin fan. Just on his ability to maximise the talent available. Like, that roster should not be, should not have a winning record the last three seasons, and it has, and it's it's on the back of his coaching. Will they regret not holding on to him for one more year? I think because this is his final year of a rookie contract, had they held on to him, he will be a free agent potentially with limited minutes this season upcoming. I think as bad as it is, they probably maximized value. And I think had they gone to, I think they would have had to let him go as a free agent next year.
Probably, I think, was it a 2025 sixth round pick or fifth round pick or something they got? Depending on minutes played, he can, it can bump up to a fourth round, which with the Steelers having signed Russell Wilson, he's probably not getting much game time. He might get the few early reps. I think he might get the first couple of games, and then you see Wilson.
I tend to think it's vice versa. I think Russell Wilson will be start at week one, and I think Justin Fields will be start at week 18. I struggle to not see Russell Wilson as a spent force. Just what we've seen the last few seasons. Steelers country, let's weld. Yeah, that's kind of how I view it. I think Justin Fields is the project. I think Russell Wilson is a slam dunk move by the Steelers organization because Denver's going to pay the majority of that salary. So why not take a leap on him? And it gives you 5 to 6 weeks to work with Justin Fields and how you want him to play. He's a massive, I don't care what anyone says, he's a massive upgrade on Kenny Pickett. Even the reports of Kenny Pickett, kind of his off-field demeanor and stuff like that, it's already a massive upgrade. Justin Fields is, he'd one or two minor incidents, as in maybe deleting the Bears from his Instagram early or whatever. That's an anger in mate. That's a decision made in anger of the modern day player. It's not really a massive lash out. We all do it from time to time, you know. Delete the company we work for from our Instagram.
From your LinkedIn profile.
Just change that filter to open to work.
Yeah, willing to listen. I think there was a couple of teams seemingly interested in him, but only as a backup anyway. So I think they've probably done right by the player himself and got what they could, as you say, with that. If you keep him, he's free agent next year, lose him anyway, because if he wasn't getting reps this year or wasn't getting a senior deal, like he was going to jump ship anyway. So hope
there's another element of it too, in that the Bears probably looked at the landscape and were like, you don't want to trade him in the NFC. So like, potential land spots there are New York, the Giants, obviously, and there's a sizable opening,
and you didn't want Minnesota going to a divisional rival.
Exactly. So I think they made that decision. The only other potential land spot, and I don't know if it would have worked cap wise, would have been a good fit for him, is if he went to the other side of New York and ended up sitting under what you would assume would be a fit Aaron Rodgers this year. I think that would have really furthered his career, because Aaron's kind of a mobile quarterback, but it's the arm
and the decision calmness under center and pressure and stuff that he brings massive. Interesting to see. If they didn't draft Caleb Williams though, and went for one of the other top prospects.
Drake May or something like that.
I think it's Williams though. He's not as much said it himself, but it does seem like it's the two have been talking quite a bit in the background and stuff. So
The other thing is that I don't think Caleb Williams is this slam dunk prospect. Yeah. I know like the tangibles are there, but ultimately it was a very unsuccessful year for USC. He's shown a few minor character flaws. I know some people kind of debate the whole crying and hugging his mom after being eliminated element of it too. Like, I know he's a boy still, he's not yet a man. And then the whole draft thing about like not training and stuff like that. There is red flags. Those red flags become amber and become green.
The more he proves himself,
if he hits the ground running. But I don't.
Yeah. And then there's also the historical failings of the Bears organization to help improve top quarterback prospects that have been drafted in. This is the third number one, is it? I think was Mitch Trubisky number one overall as well. He was high up. He was high up in the list. He might not have been number one overall, but yeah, he was
high up. But I don't think number one.
So. I think, look, Ryan Poles inherited Justin Fields as well when he came in as GM. So, look, he tried to make it work and has gotten pieces that he thinks will move the organization on. And, you know, it's shit or bust this time, basically. This could be Poles' last draft, if things go bad, you know. Him and Eberflus, it could be writing on the wall for them if it's another losing season, and hopefully not though. Hopefully it's a lot of positive pieces did come in the free agency, and hopefully it, you know, kicks on.
Yeah, both men open the season on the hottest of hot seats.
Absolutely.
Moving on. This week's must-see TV, both actually come from Friday. I gave you the wrong date. Mine's a bit of a reach. Not everyone's blessed as I am to still be working hybrid. Days of COVID are gone. But tomorrow, if you had the opportunity to, like, on the sly, have Sky Sports' main event on around 9 o'clock when everyone's kind of dragging ass into the virtual office. Sydney Roosters face off against Sydney Rabbitohs in the NRL. You're thinking, look, is this fella banging on about rugby league again? This is just one of those iconic fixtures. It is the equivalent of in the Clásico. It is just centuries of hatred. It's the posh side of Sydney versus the working class side of Sydney. It's all the narratives you need. And they're always thereabouts. Like, in my time following the league anyway, there hasn't been too many years where one side is incredibly more talented than the other side. They're always within three or four positions on each other at the end of the year. So, it's a good game. Going to be plenty of scraps. It's
definitely worth having on in the corner. I have to bring the iPad with me tomorrow.
The iPad with the fully legal streaming service.
My must watch TV is from Friday night. It's the Ospreys against Munster. Usually a cracking game when it's played over there. To be fair, Ospreys always put on a good show against Munster. The Irish provinces in general when they play at home. Munster have a pretty strong team. Tom Ahern and Orgy Snyme in second row, and expecting a kind of similar game to was a Zebra there a couple of weeks back. Pretty high scoring, high try count from both teams. So that's on. I know TG Carr showing it, Oscoelga, at 25-8 Friday evening. Yeah.
It'll be all it's one by the play, isn't it? Sport local. Sport the boys who run a TV company from Connemara and can't fully televised sporting fixtures in the rain.
Yeah, the highest percentage of sideways rain had to get the cameras at a good angle.
Unreal. But look, that's a gripe of a man who watches a bit of National Football League. The GAA kind. Look, anyone who's tuned in, thanks.
Really appreciate it. And that's all for me.
But that's all for me. Thank you. And good night.